delighted to have you here today for listening in a world of talk. We are going to pack a lot into this hour, so we'll move through things quite quickly. In the process of this hour, we hope what you'll gain really is a taste for the power of the gift of listening that God has given to us. I'm Linda Murkison. I had the privilege and the honor of knowing this all since before John was born. I forget how old he is now, but 32 years. And it's for the last 20 of those years that Mary and I have had opportunities to talk about, practice, teach, listening. And by way of background for me, I am an Episcopalian. I am married to Bree, who's sitting right there. We have two grown daughters, one son-in-law. And professionally, I'm a hospice social worker by training, so I spend a fair amount of time listening in my work. Wow, grab some more chairs. Great. I'll just wait another. And then, I think most of you know Mary, but I wanted to give her a chance to say a word about herself.
Fortunately for me, many of you know me as the mother of. Really, the most it used to be mostly as the wife of, but now, fortunately, some of you know me as the mother of David, or Simeon, or John, also the wife of Paul. And professionally, I am a garden designer, which, believe it or not, involves a lot of listening as well. And we'll talk a little bit more about how we came to understand and get hold of this message. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
And in the course of this hour, we hope to give you a taste of listening to yourself, listening to others, strengths of good listening, bad listening habits, and then we will also practice listening together. So there's a lot we're going to pack in. But before we jump into that, I would like you to just turn to the person, let's say that would be on your right.
This is your right.
Go to your right, and if you're at the end of a row, go behind you. And if you really can't find someone to talk to, Mary and I will jump into that. But we want you just to introduce yourself to the person on your right. There are only two questions that you need to ask. One is the name of the person, and the other is if you would just share in a sentence, maybe two sentences, why you chose this workshop over some of the others that are offered today. What was it about this that made you choose to come and sit here with us? So go to your right and go behind you if you're at the end of a row. And the real task is, the real challenge is, the person is introducing themselves, not to interrupt what they have to say. So go for it.
Thank you.
right on this place where we are right now. I'm going to just guide you through a one-minute meditation and then close with a prayer. So if you'd like to, close your eyes. If not, leave them open. Take a deep breath in, and as you breathe out and say to yourself the things that may be weighing on you right now. It may be a conversation from last night. It may be a thought from the talk this morning. It may be a person you've had an argument with. It may be a worry about something in your life today, right now. Breathe in. And as you breathe out, let that thought go for now. Watch it float by. Just become aware for a second about how you feel right now being here. Are you anxious? Happy to be here? If you find it helpful, silently say any thoughts, feelings, names which come to you. If you find it helpful, repeat to yourself, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I cannot deal with these issues right now. I offer them to you. Allow yourself to be still, inside and out. All listening begins and ends in God. The God who listens in infinite compassion is the God who creates in each of us the desire to listen to Him, to His world, to each other, and to ourselves, so that filled with His Spirit, we might continue His work here on earth. Teach me to listen, Lord, to those nearest to me, to my family, my friends, my co-workers. Help me to be aware that no matter what words I hear, the message is, accept the person I am. Listen to me. Teach me to listen, Lord, to those far from me, the whisper of the hopeless, the plea of the forgotten, the cry of the anguished. Teach me to listen, Lord, to myself. Help me to be less afraid to trust the voice inside in the deepest part of me. Teach me to listen, Lord, for your voice in busyness and in boredom, in certainty and in doubt, in noise and in silence. Teach me, Lord, to listen. Amen. Jump right into a question some of you may have heard when you've been with us in this workshop in the past, but for a minute, just think about who has listened to you well in your life. Let that kind of stir around in your head. And then next, who has not listened to you well? There might even be a third category. Who would you like to listen to you well? So think about that. And as you think about that, what I'd like to do is write down what words come to your mind when you think of not being listened to. How does it feel when you're not listened to? Just shout a word out or when you're not listened to.
Irrelevant.
Disconnected, did someone say?
Frustrated.
Resigned.
Oh. Resigned. Any other words?
Abandoned.
I may not be spelling these right, but...
Small.
Small.
inadequate.
Makes me feel like disengaging.
You feel like disengaging?
Yeah.
Anything else?
Depression.
Depressing?
Anxious.
Unimportant. That's a lot of words that just come popping right out. Now switch gears and think about how you feel when you are listened to, if you've ever had that experience of being listened to.
Love.
Love.
Encouraged.
What? Encouraged?
Affirmed.
Affirmed.
Valued.
Valued.
Reassured.
Reassured.
Understood.
Understood. How about a couple more?
Safe.
Safe. One more?
Known.
Known. I'm sure there are more in both categories. But what this illustrates, these are powerful words from not being listened to and from being listened to. So just the act of listening can, or not listening, can elicit a lot of powerful feelings. And that's what we really wanted to get at right now, to show the power that comes just from listening. And I'm going to turn the program over to Mary.
You responded by with your feet by coming to this session, and we had you in the introduction say why you did that. I want you to think about that again for just a minute. Where in your life is there too much talk, too many words? You know, if I could sing, I wanted to have Eliza Doolittle singing the song "Words, Words, Words" from My Fair Lady, but we didn't have the AV help. three areas that I mentioned in the introduction that you might just highlight for where there might be too many words or too much talk. The first might be just in the world in general, in your world. Cell phones, text messages, television, emails, music, traffic, computer, words, talk coming at you, overwhelmed with input. Is that one source of the words that you want some break from so that you responded to that? Well, perhaps it's even in your church. This is a little delicate, but maybe you're feeling sometimes that the sermons are too long or that there's too many words and you just crave some silence or something that's not so wordy for somebody to be nice. Maybe it's both. Maybe even too much Bible quoting, or too many prescriptions, or too much doctrinal point making. Just not enough silence or listening in your church. And then finally, the biggie, what about in yourself? I said to someone, a friend of mine in Florida, that I was coming to New York. She said, why? And I told her what I was doing, and I said, and she said, what are you speaking on? I told her the title, and she said, oh, that's the biggest problem in my life. And I said, what do you mean? She said, oh, I just talk too much. I say too much. I say the wrong things. I don't listen well. I go away from a situation thinking, I didn't listen. I talked. I said what I didn't mean to say. Or even, it may be just an inner voice that's talking away. Maybe there's just a constant, if you tune into it, there's a constant inner chatter going on in your brain that you long for a break from. It could be an inner critic. A lot of us have an inner critic that's sort of sitting on the shoulder like the Donald Duck thing. Some voice that just never seems to let up. Do you identify with any of those examples? Does anything that I said ring a bell? I see some heads nodding. That's encouraging. You're here. You know, the first point is acknowledging. It's something in the line of confession. That's always the first step, as Rod was saying. So, are you a person maybe that craves retreat or silence? Are you just, is your idea of heaven 2 days alone without anybody to talk to or talk to you? Or maybe it's just the opposite. Maybe you crave someone to really listen to you without giving you advice, without trying to fix you, but simply to listen and listen well. Or maybe it is that you long to be able to listen better. Is all your good advice, well-intended, love behind it, not working? Are your words falling on deaf ears? Would you love to see this inner critic silence, even for a few moments? This inner internal chatter. And perhaps even you wonder why it is that God doesn't speak to you. Why don't you hear him more often? Well, all of those are things, questions that have an answer in the great big umbrella of listening. Lynn and I were privileged to take a course back in the 90s from a woman named Ann Long. Ann Long, who is a canon and one of the early women in the Church of England to be ordained. And she wrote a book simply called Listening. It's on the book table upstairs. David had to get it from England. It's in its 19th printing. And when I say that to Anne, she says, well, all the world needs someone to listen. That's why she's very modest. But anyway, she taught this course. And in her training, the unique thing about her training is not just that she teaches listening to other people, which is incredibly important, but she has a threefold approach, which includes listening to God and listening to myself. I'm not going to go into this in detail, but what we're covering today is really based on the practice that she taught us years ago. And that book, I recommend it to you. There are only about 8 copies, so run. Before we go any further, let me tell you what I have come to say is my definition of listening. My definition of listening is simply this. It means I value what you have to say more than what I have to say. I value what you have to say more than what I have to say. That heart change has to happen to listen well. That's conversion. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And I demonstrate that by giving you my undivided attention and not by talking, by not talking. This is living out Paul's admonition in Philippians 2, where he said, count others better than yourself. Consider that what someone else has to say is more important than anything you might say. Now, Christians have a particular problem with this. It should be the opposite, but it's not. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, many people are looking for an ear that will listen. They do not find it among Christians, because Christians are talking when they should be listening. The one who no longer listens to his brother or sister will soon no longer be listening to God either. That's quite an indictment from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he links listening to others with listening to God. There's a relationship there, which Anne has done a great job of showing that in her teaching. And we're going to demonstrate this. We're going to actually do this in a minute. The danger, Michael Cooper said, the danger of doing a talk on the world of talking is that you're going to talk more. Yeah, that's what we're doing. So why is it that Christians are talking? Has that been your experience? One of the things is that Christians think they have something to say, right? We have the good news to tell the world. And that is true. When I said that to Anne, why is it that Christians have a particular problem? She said, well, all of the body is not the mouth. That's all. perhaps the problem, this has been your experience or your problem, but the Well, the question is it possible, as Christians even, that just listening is as powerful or even more powerful than anything that we might say or do? Is just listening as powerful or more powerful than anything that we might say or do? My own desire to listen better, and it was not unlike a conversion experience, it began with my understanding that I was not listening, and I was not a good listener. And I knew that I wanted to leave a legacy with my children that they considered me to be a good listener as their mother. And I knew that was not the case at the time that I took this course. So I wanted that to change. I wanted that to be a legacy, that my children would say that I was a good listener. I would go so far as to say that it's an essential tool for a good marriage or a good parenting. If you asked me to teach one thing about marriage or parenting, that's what it would be, listening. So I've also come, after the, you know, the initial experience of learning this and seeing how healing it was just to see someone listen to these words actually lived out, I've come to see that it's much more than that. It's actually a gateway. This big umbrella of listening to God, to myself, and to others is an umbrella, is a gateway to deeper spirituality, to better prayer, to more compassion, to all sorts of things, better prayer life. It's a whole avenue that opens up. And why is that? I just want to look at just a few principles, theological principles, that I think are at work here. One is, it's really listening well, giving someone better than yourself what they have to say, more important than anything you have to say, believing that your listening is more powerful than anything you might say or do for them, has a theological foundation. Just to list a few things. I'm talking about what Rod was talking about just now. First of all, it's acting out a radical humility. It's acting out justification by faith, where we say it, but do we live it? I have nothing to bring to the table. When I listen to you and don't speak, I am acting out, I have nothing to bring to the table except my presence, my undivided attention perhaps, but that's the main thing. It's also acting out, putting into practice radical grace, because when we listen well, as you'll see in some examples we're going to do, there's no fear of condemnation. There's no fear of condemnation. How many people in your life can you speak to without fear of condemnation? Don't you want to be a person that someone can come to without fear of condemnation? That's living out a radical grace. But it's hard. I won't underestimate how hard it is. It's what Paul called us to do in Romans 12, where he said, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. He's saying, present your mouth as a living sacrifice. Present your ears as a living sacrifice. Present your concentration as a living sacrifice. Give up your right to speak. No wonder it's hard. The thing about a living sacrifice is, you know, you're still alive while you're being killed. Okay, it's really tough. There's nothing easy about it. And then finally, the thing that I've come to understand lately, especially in practicing listening well, as we're going to do it in a few minutes, is that you are imputing, as the listener, you are imputing worth, value, ability to the person speaking. The person who's telling you their problem, you are actually imputing to them the ability to give themselves their own advice, to solve their own problem in a way that is theological imputation. You're giving all the power to the speaker, not to the listener. And that's dramatic. And Anne she was so insightful to see this years ago, that if the power is given to the speaker, the chance of doing something about the problem is infinitely greater. So, no more talk from me. We're going to now have some demonstrations, first of what I would call bad listening, and I want you to watch Linda and Reed. They're going to show you, and I want you to see what's going on in some of these examples, and then we're going to have an opportunity for you to see good listening taking place, what we are defining as good listening, and then we're going to let you practice.
I'm always typecast as a bad listener.
Which is not actually true at home. We're going to do about 6 different examples, and you can, after each one, stop for a minute and see if you can kind of pinpoint. Can you see? You want us to stand up? You know, sort of pinpoint what we might not be doing right.
This is play acting.
I'm really tired. The demands of all I've taken on are just too much. It's more than I can cope with. All I want to do is crawl into bed, and when I finally do, I can't sleep. I just don't know what to do.
I'm sorry, that's pretty tough. My phone is vibrating here. You wouldn't mind if I took this call to you. I know it's really important.
If you have to.
What's going on there?
What's going on?
He's
inattentive, definitely.
Abandonment.
He's more important.
And he's interrupting my stream of thought with his cell phone. Okay, here's another one. As I was trying to tell you, I'm not sleeping very well. I think it's because I have too much on my mind. Too much is going on at work. Too many things to take care of at home. I'm feeling really overwhelmed.
Are you getting home in time to take care of things at home? Are you getting bed at a reasonable hour? Are you taking time to relax? Are you taking any time for yourself?
I just don't have time for anything.
What did he do there? What?
Okay, here's another one. I'm still trying to tell you things. Anyway, sorry. I wanted to tell you how unable I am to find time for myself these days.
What's happened?
Work, family pressures are too much. I'm not sleeping well. I get really upset at the smallest thing.
You know, you just shouldn't take on so much. You need to give yourself a break. Come on. Maybe you should even see a therapist.
I guess I could use a break.
What did you do there?
I think he used the word should 4 times. He would rather someone
else.
Here's another one. You're right about needing a break. I took a week off work, but pressures are mounting up again everywhere. At home, at work, at church. I'm so exhausted I can't sleep. God doesn't even seem to be hearing me. Our prayer group's falling apart. Conversations with my brother are strained. I don't have time for any family and friends anymore.
No, I know exactly how you feel. Things are just awful at work. My boss is just on me all the time to get more done with less resources. And my wife, I mean, you just wouldn't believe what we're dealing with. I know exactly how you feel.
What's going on there?
I'm more important than you are.
What did he do?
He's just control and made it about him.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Here's another one. I'm still struggling, really struggling, especially at home. I don't seem to have have any patience with the kids or my husband. If I wasn't so tired all the time, it might be better.
You know, I'm sure it's not nearly as bad as you think it is. I'm sure it's going to get better soon.
Well, I guess, but it sure is hard.
I know things will lighten up. You know, tough times always get better. There's always a rainbow at the end of the whatever.
What's going on there?
Minimizing, condescending.
I think he's trying to actually make me feel better by jumping in and reassuring me.
Wishful thinking.
Okay, just one more. I tried the hot bath last night, and I guess I felt better for a minute. But by the time I got in bed, all my worries returned, and once again I couldn't sleep. I tossed and turned and thought about the hurtful thing I had said to my husband and how I had been short-tempered with my daughter about nothing very important, and I feel so discouraged.
Sounds like you have a whole lot on your mind, but I know God has a plan. Have you really offered up to God all your worries? I know He's got a plan for you.
Well, I thought I had.
What did he do there?
Manipulated with Christian lingo.
Well, there's a handout for you about this at the end on the table called Unhelpful Listening Habits. My guess is you may have recognized some things about yourself and one or the other of us as we did this. Sort of the six highlights are of not helpful listening, jumping in and reassuring. This is when a person says something like, it's probably not that bad, or I know you'll feel better tomorrow. Usually that's because we can't tolerate hearing how bad it might really be. Another one is giving advice. This is when you want to sort out the problem, fix the problem for the other person. If you hear should in your mind or in your verbal response, you're on to giving advice. Spiritualizing, this is when we might ask, have you prayed about it? I know God has a plan for you, that kind of a thing. Interrupting, and this goes back to what Mary said earlier. Many of us may be working out in our own mind what we want to say next while the person is still speaking. Most of us do not listen with the intent to understand. We listen with the intent to reply. And the focus is on us, not the person speaking. Telling our own story. This is sort of a subtle one. It happens most quickly, or you'll recognize it when something the speaker says triggers something in you, and you think, oh, I can just let them know how much I can understand, I can relate. I'm going through the same thing. So you go off on your own story, maybe thinking you're being helpful, but what you've done is shift the attention to yourself. And finally, asking questions, which is also a little subtle, but Reed did that in one of them. It's when we sort of ask questions about the surface details, well, what time did that happen, who are you with, questions that really don't relate to what the speaker has on his or her mind. So those are sort of six of the classic bad listening patterns that we demonstrated.
Now we're going to.
Have we had questions? Or do you want to wait for the end?
How about two?
Right now?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Well, so I remember listening a few years ago. I think I need to join. But I feel like I still struggle with some of those that I feel like I like when people do that. I like when people ask me questions and like work it out with me sort of. And even like advice. I mean, like, I get really frustrated when people don't give me advice. I'm like, I do it if I knew what to do. But I think, I'm going to contradict myself. But I understand that like we also need to like work out our own problems. But being young.
Well, I'll say one thing about that, which is that I think normally the listening part, that can really happen well first.
Yeah.
Then there's room for questions and advice, yeah. And you know, that's sort of and I think for the, in many instances, once we've listened to ourselves well by someone listening to us, we will actually find the answer ourselves for ourselves.
But the whole point of listening, of taking this kind of training and being aware of it, is that it helps us to understand some of what we need. And so that's how it is, listening to yourself, and it brings you back to the sort of foot of the cross that I'm not learning this. We have a very low anthropology when it comes to learning how to listen and doing it. So it's an ongoing thing.
Would it be true to say we cannot help ourselves, you know, that we cannot answer the questions, we cannot help ourselves, if the Holy Spirit has to enter the equation to answer those questions or to truly listen to our issues?
It's all going on at the same time, David, but I don't want to over-spiritualize it right now. I want to be as practical as we can, because I think there are some things that we can actually...
I'll just say one thing, which is part of the being silent and listening is actually trusting that the Holy Spirit is at work in the speaker. You know, sort of that
I don't have to
help the Holy Spirit find your answer. The Holy Spirit is working in that person while he or she is speaking.
Okay, we're gonna demonstrate this. And we're going to conclude it with a couple of questions that we learned from Anne that we found to be helpful. So we're going to have to sit down and do this.
Can
you do it standing? Okay.
I
mean, this is coffee hour. How much good listening goes on in coffee hour?
And we're going to give you an opportunity to practice this when we're done. And I will also say that this is unrehearsed. Mary's going to listen to me, and she doesn't have a clue what I'm going to talk about. And I'm going to try and think of something that's sort of real to me right now.
Not can.
Yeah, not can.
So, what's on your mind?
Well, I was thinking about one, when you were talking earlier, and I think you talked about kind of the critic on our shoulder. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that critic. And how is that, what really popped into my mind while you were talking was that critic, which is pretty active in my life, that critic right now is saying things like, you're a bad parent, you screwed up. I can feel that critic saying, you know, it's your fault, you screwed up, you haven't done it right. And then while that critic is saying that, some other voice is saying, well, you should do this, this, and this, and then all the things the critic says will go away. So if I, you know, the critic's saying all the ways I screwed up, the other shoulder is telling me all the things I should do to quiet the critic. Does that make sense? So that, and it really was, I was thinking particularly about my children, probably. And I, you know, I could spend the next 48 hours talking about my children. But I know I only have another minute or two. But I think that's really what's going on. And I think what I'm thinking about how unhelpful it actually is to my children for this critic to be sort of judging me all the time. It really keeps me from being present, because what I see is all the things I'm doing wrong, think I'm doing wrong, and then all the things I maybe should do to fix it so that my children will be happy, as if I have control over that. I wish I could. you know, once they're grown up, I can't make the peanut butter and jelly sandwich or put the Band-Aid on the knee that makes things better. And some of the issues they face can be really life-threatening at times. And so that's what's going on. Really just sort of acknowledging these two voices, particularly with regard to my children.
Mm. So what do you think is the most important thing you just said in this couple of minutes?
Well, I think it's all important, actually. I think just sort of having this picture of the inner critic, specifically as it relates to my children, and really looking at each critic's voice, you know. So as I think about Claire, you know, the critic, oh, Melinda, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you screwed up, you know. I think what's most important is to take seriously the thoughts around us that are coming up, I think. I think they're coming up for a reason. Mm-hmm. And to spend some, I'd rather squish them down because they're kind of complicated. but I think the challenge is to live with them and to sort of bring them into the light.
So the important thing is to acknowledge that this critic is going on and that it's telling you something, and to listen to that and not squelch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Is there anything you'd like to do based on what you said?
Go see the therapist he recommended. I mean, I say that with a laugh, but there may be some truth in. I don't know yet. I think I need, bringing these things into the light, I think I it may not be helpful for me just to do it in the quiet of my own room. There may be some kind of confession or talking them through with someone outside of myself. So I don't know. To do, maybe to see a therapist, it may be just to find some good listeners and talk it through. But I think I need to keep it in the light, not hide from it, and I don't know exactly what shape that will take, but I think there's something I need to actually do rather than just listen to these two people chattering away on my shoulders.
So you think that what you might want to do is find somebody, a therapist or a friend, who could really talk this through with you, and you could keep it out in the light. Now, what we're going to do is ask you to pair up, ideally with the person you introduced yourself to. If that's a little too self-conscious, you might switch, but to pair up, just we don't want to spend a lot of time going around the room, but we want you to do the same thing. I want you to think of something, maybe that's come up, just in Rod's talk or in this session this morning, something that's come up to you that is, and speak about it to, so one person will be the speaker and one person will be the listener. And you want to speak up to 4 minutes, no more. That's all the time we have. That's the role of the speaker. Think of something that you'd like to talk about that's come up in you in the sessions this morning. Or it could be anything, but that's just a clue that something might be going on inside you. And the role of the listener is to listen and not do any of the bad listening. Listen attentively, say nothing, except, yes, say more. That's it. Nothing more. That's an exercise. This is an exercise. It may be slightly artificial, but this time we want you to see what it's like to say nothing. So, at the end of 4 minutes, then, when they wrap up, or 2 minutes, however long it takes, maximum four, we want you to then just ask the same questions and reflect back the answer. You reflect it back so that they know that they've been heard and you see how well you've been able to listen. So that will help you to concentrate if you're reflecting back their words, not yours. Don't put words in their mouth. Don't interpret. Just directly their words. And then ask the second question. So the first question.
I'll write them down in a minute.
I'm just going to write down. The first question is, what's the most important thing you think you've just said? And the second question is there, based on this, is there anything you would like to do about it? Okay? And then we're going to break. And then after that, we'll ring the bell when you should be. We'll let you know. So we'll say 4 minutes, and then we'll say, okay, time to switch. You'll have 10 minutes each. So maximum 20 minutes we're giving for this. Isn't that right?
No, I
no.
think
it's 15. It's like 10 to 15 max.
Max. Okay, well, we'll let you know when you should be switching partners.
So think about sort of 4 minutes
each. And then we'll come back together and we'll reflect on that.
Switching, listening.
Does switching mean switching and the other person is beginning to ask the questions, or does switching mean
taking the different roles?
So,
the listener asks questions at the end of the person speaking. Speaker speaks, listener asks questions.
Should we do it, or should we? Maybe it would be better if we just, yeah, exactly.
Hold on 1 sec. Okay. No, clarifying questions, no
informational
questions, none. Okay?
That's
the day. This is an exercise.
All right.
Yeah, you can stop that now. Yeah.
I don't know if I did this right.